Hello and welcome back to the Charity Digital Podcast. Thank you all for downloading this latest episode. This episode's about a topic that we get asked about quite a bit, and it's something that's been quite close to our hearts in a lot of the content we've been pushing out lately, and that is digital strategy. The conversation that you know you're about to listen to is based off a statistic that we came across, which is that 50% of charities don't actually have a digital strategy, and we brought some people together to discuss why exactly that is. There's some great stories, including one of my favourites, the infamous Blockbuster story and what happened to them with the introduction of Netflix. And we look at things like, digital strategy going beyond the realms of just social media and marketing, as well as talking about, is digital relevant for every charity? And looking at accountability throughout the organisation, does strategy just rely on the digital team, or should digital be embedded in every sense of an organisation? But Jonathan, it was you who kind of hosted this one. And kind of took the reins on that. So how did you feel it went? What were your kind of key takeaways?
Yeah, we had some really fantastic discussion. Digital strategy is an area that I'm really, really passionate about. Having worked around technology and strategy for nearly all my career now, it's an area I feel really connected to. So it's been great to explore more how it can be applied to charities. We had some really good discussion around just what is digital strategy, and in what way is it or should it be separate from your overall strategy? So there was a really good exploration of that topic by the panelists. One of the other interesting aspects was really how digital does the strategy need to be? There are some organisations who don't have any digital in their strategy, others who kind of I really get into a bit more of a tick boxing exercise, paying lip service to it. So it was a good exploration of that. And then at the back end, we spent a bit of time talking around the whole area of innovation. So how do you bring innovation, particularly digital innovation, into an organisation? And maybe why don't we see more of it in charities as well? And overall, I think there were some real challenges laid down, particularly to the trustees and the senior management of charities, to pick up the baton on this and grasp the handle of how they should make their charities more digital and how they should do it in a relevant way. So it's not just about being digital for digital's sake, it's about something that has a real impact on your organisation and on your beneficiaries as well.
Yeah, all really good stuff. So before we hand over to yourself and the panel, it's worth mentioning to you, the audience, that this was our very first podcast recording. So the sound might be a little hazy in parts, but please bear with us. The root of what's in the content is really important. So stick with it. Enjoy the pod.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Chevalier. I'm CEO of Charity Digital, and today we've convened a panel to discuss digital strategies in charities. We've chosen this topic as we get many requests from charities to help them on this, and research shows that it's an area where around half of charities don't have a digital strategy. Before we move into the discussion, I'd like to introduce the panel. So going around the table, we have Claire Tavernier. Claire has a background in growing successful content and digital businesses, and has previously been CEO of the charity Girl Effect. Then we have Vince Gratrick. Vince is the IT director at MenCap, and so he's responsible for the IT strategy and operations of one of the larger charities in the country. Then we have Robert Cade. Robert is Centrepoint's director of strategy and performance, and comes from a background of operational transformation in the public sector. And then last, but by no means least, we have Owen Pringle. Owen is a senior communications and digital strategist with over 20 years experience. He's co-founder and partner of the digital agency ARC, and previous roles include being global director of digital at Amnesty International. So welcome, everybody. So let's start off by looking at what do we actually mean when we're talking about digital strategy. Maybe we could start with you, Claire.
Yes, well, my answer to this question is perhaps a little bit controversial, and it doesn't come from me. It comes from a digital advisor we had when I was at Girl Effect. Her name was Julia Hanna, and she's a very senior entrepreneur in the Silicon Valley. And I was hoping she would help us with our digital strategy. And she kept telling me, Claire, digital is not a thing. You can't have a digital strategy separated from your main strategy. Digital needs to be completely embedded at every point of your main strategy, and it has to be the pipes that make your strategy work. So please do not build a digital department that's going to build a digital strategy, but make sure that digital permeates everything that you do within your organization.
And what does it mean to you, Robert?
I mean, I have to admit, I probably agree with what Claire's just said. I think by the fact that everything that we do at the moment is within an aspect of a digital world. So therefore, by separating digital out from the actual strategy of an organization, creates a barrier which doesn't necessarily need to be there. I think we need to move in a way which enables everybody to look at the question which is being posed at all aspects of the organization. What part of that can be actually delivered through a digital solution, digital tools, etc. And as part of that, we definitely need to look at the strategy of a whole organization. My only question would be, though, is how do we get to the point where as organizations we look through areas through a digital lens? And perhaps in those instances, you do need to set out how you're going to drive digital across the whole organization. That's why in some industries, there was certainly a trend a couple of years ago to appoint chief digital officers. And what they were actually tasked to doing is to understand how do we make sure that across the whole organization, we are looking at things through a digital lens in that regard.
Mm. And what about you, Owen? What does it mean to you?
I became known as that digital guy who made himself redundant a few years ago when at Amnesty. I took my department through a restructure, which was part of a global restructuring plan, and basically made the department null and void. I sort of dissipated it, took functions that existed within my department, placed them elsewhere, into the most appropriate places. So the functional specialists, if you like, in the digital department who were more, I guess, fundraising focused would go to the fundraising department and so on. The single greatest impediment to wholesale digital change in the organization was actually me, simply because it was a bottleneck. You know, there was too much going on, and it was impossible to do everything. So I removed myself from the system, and hopefully that has been, I guess, systematic in helping the organization to become more sort of digitally focused across the board. What we do now at ARC is to help organizations who have been through that first stage digital transformation, and most organizations have, let's face it, into a space where they're now thinking, okay, it isn't quite working in the way that we expected it to, so how do we unstick this? What are the problems? And inevitably, as we've all heard, they tend to be people-based problems. So what are the things that stop people from progressing on their sort of digital path? So I absolutely agree with what's been said before. It's how to develop a strategy that is fit for purpose in a digital age, as opposed to a digital strategy.
So a lot of agreement round the table, but are you going to agree with that, Vince, or have you got a different perspective?
Not radically different. I think the things that comes out is that there can't be a separation of the digital side of things from a business. Any modern business now is going to be looking at digital ways of working and embedding that into how they work. And traditionally, or where I've seen it in the charity sector, is where you have a digital department, which tends to be fundraising, marketing, because they've got a website and that's a digital front end. The bit that I'm more interested in from Mencap's perspective is we're less of a bizarrely a public facing, we're a very big organization with a lot of people that go out and provide services day to day. We're looking at digital transformation because it's actually embedding digital ways of working into the workforce. The interesting thing for me is how do you coordinate all that digital activity? It's not through a digital marketing team. It's not through IT. There's data that's also part of that mix that comes into it. It's more how do you align getting all your digital ducks in a line coordinated with the strategy of the organization. They are complementary. So I think you need a digital coordination element. You don't need a separate strategy. Mm. It needs to fit with the corporate strategy or the charity strategy. So I do agree, but my big concern is how do you coordinate those elements? That's the really interesting part for me.
Yeah, it does seem as kind of a potential danger, because I think we all agree that your digital should be integrated with your overall strategy. There's a kind of a danger that an organization goes, well, we've got a strategy, has got a little bit of digital in, therefore job done. But is it done in that case?
I think that tick boxing was, I mean, I witnessed this, you know, where it is a tick box. We're going digital, and we had a head of digital, you know, I'm not going to name which of the charities that I worked at, but, you know, we had a head of digital, and what they tended to do was deal with the Twitter feeds or the websites, and that was it.
And I think that for me, I've seen this so many times in the TV industry where digital, the issue here is accountability, and the fact that there was a head of digital meant that nobody else was accountable for digital because there was a head of digital and they were going to sort it all out. And so in TV, that meant that producers would produce fantastic shows and never think about whether there needed to be digital elements added to it, because that was the digital department was going to do that. So while I completely agree with you that you do need digital professionals, which is different, people who actually know how to do it, I think the accountability of driving that digital transformation needs to be central. It cannot be delegated to a digital department.
I absolutely agree with what's been said. And if I can pick up on one point of which Vince mentioned, and that is making sure that you have the right governance for the organisation around digital tools. Some work which I did 5 years ago now was looking at actually what happens if an organisation totally decentralises all aspects of digital. And what actually happens when we saw was that everybody went out and selected their favourite tools, whatever looked shiny at that point of time. And that actually meant the performance and the outcomes of those organisations actually dropped compared to if you did nothing at all. On the other hand, if you have such strong governance in place that you don't decide to put in place any digital tools across your organisation, you don't see any increase in the performance in your organisation at all. It's where you get that mix of making sure that people can go out and find what tools meet these problems that we need to solve, but have the right governance in place so that we're not duplicating effort across the organisation, that you see the upspike in performance. And that's what we've looked to do at Centrepoint, making sure that actually responsibility for digital remains within the teams across the organisation, understanding what tools are out there which could actually fit the business purpose, but putting in place the digital board which sits across the organisation to actually say, does this fit with our overriding strategy? Are we bringing in more tools which are going to be different to what we use in a different part of the organisation? And importantly, do we have the technology infrastructure to underpin it as well?
I think an interesting thing that's happened in the last few years is that as we've been through that process of all organisations having a sense of what digital means to them as a business, it's become more embedded. So, you know, it is everywhere, but at the same time, it's become less understood because of the weight of change and the pace of change, and it's only getting faster. So the next 10 years will, you know, I guess be very significant, and the last 10 years will pale into insignificance based on what's coming down the line. So the idea of having somebody who leads I don't like to call it a digital function, but if you like a function that is about horizon scanning, is about enablement, is about facilitation, and looks right across the board in terms of how an organization needs to think about the use of technology or the use of digital or the use of any new aspects of what this facilitates, you know, what that then means to an organization, and then how to facilitate that, how to govern that. But it isn't about having a command and control structure with a number of people who report into you and only do a specific digital thing.
Hi, it's Jonathan here again. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but I wanted to bring you news of an exciting new service that we're launching. It's called Digital Strategy on a Plate. It comprises 7 interactive webinar sessions delivered with a small cohort over 3 months. And you'll come away from it with a digital strategy for your organisation. Because we use a hands-on coaching and tutoring approach for a small group, we have to charge for this service. But if you are interested, do please get in touch with us at events@charitydigital.org.uk. Hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
So can I go back to the research, which says that around half of charities don't have a digital strategy? Let's put on one side the fact that obviously that is a digital strategy that should be integrated into a broader strategy overall. That's still a lot of people who are kind of going, yeah, we're not really on the game with digital at all, I think. Why is that?
I've got to jump in here. I just say something. So, because the people that are running it, trustees and the execs often aren't, they don't understand it themselves. That's very hard for them to either, they have delegated it out or they've accommodated it, but they don't necessarily understand themselves. And your example there of where it's somebody coming from Silicon Valley who's a digital native, they know nothing else, that they go, why would you have a separate strategy? Mm-hmm. The approach is that senior level, and it's, they are completely forgivable because often they're of a demographic of an age and an experience that they haven't gone up from a digital background. So that level at the top are not aware enough to be able to harness it and capture it, and they've tinkered with it, particularly with a push from the digital teams. That's my feelings about it.
And I think it's scary. If you're in a management position and there is this thing that you don't really understand, and probably the people more junior to you in the organization understand better, to come out and say it and admit that you need to learn is scary. I think that's a barrier. One of the organizations I worked with a while ago had organized something that actually I thought was quite effective in a small scale, which was this reverse mentoring process with young people reverse mentoring senior executives on social media and new technology, etc. And yes, it's a little bit ticking the boxes again, but actually at least it was admitting their vulnerability when it came to digital things. And I think that in itself was a very positive step, because it was saying, we don't really get it, please help us. Doesn't mean that it was necessarily the most effective way, but I thought it was a very nice step in the right direction.
If I may turn the question around slightly, and actually ask the question, why might the charity sector be slightly behind on digitization compared to other sectors? I would put it back to imperative. And actually, can you continue to exist in your current work that you're doing without becoming digital? And the reason why some other sectors might have accelerated in this process, and thinking mainly of the consumer products and retail sector. So if you've got organizations such as Blockbuster, which existed 10 years ago, they were slow to get onto the digital journey, which other organizations went on, and all of a sudden you had Netflix taking your actual market away from you. So therefore that meant within that sector, there was a huge push to make sure that you looked at the digital angles of actually how you were delivering. The same for banking as well now, which has gone through a huge change over the course of the past couple of years, largely pushed by customers who also are saying, we no longer want to go into physical bank branches. And I don't think there's been the same push for the charity sector for a number of different reasons, not least that for the citizens who we serve, they are using charities for a different reason than having choice. They are actually doing it through a need. So therefore, the demand still goes there, and therefore there's not the same push for you at a senior level to actually make change as quickly as you would in other sectors.
Yeah, so that's an interesting theme. Actually, I'd like to drill into a little bit more, because what you're saying is there are certain sectors where it's kind of a clear imperative, you will cease to exist. So is digital relevant for every charity, or when we look at, and obviously the landscape of charities is vast, in terms of both the types of activities they undertake, the sizes, the resourcing models, because some charities have no employees whatsoever. It's all volunteer-led. So it's a very vast sector. And, are there actually, therefore, some charities for whom we think this doesn't matter, actually? It's fine. They can just carry on as they are, or in some way or form, does it matter for every charity?
It impacts every organisation, charitable or not. But I think that there's a long-held assumption that the charity and civil society sector are behind in digital, and I don't think that's necessarily true. There are too many lenses that you can look through this. So for example, in the area of supporter engagement or purpose, which are very central to a lot of corporates now, charities and NGOs and civil society organizations are streets ahead. They know and understand that is their lifeblood, ultimately, knowing what their mission is as an organization. In the area of, say, customer experience, they could perhaps be doing a little bit better than they are right now. I think it's too simplistic to say charities are behind.
I also think it really depends on the value, on where in the value chain. So, for instance, in fundraising and campaigning, as you were saying, yes, charities, it was a matter of survival. If you're going to try to continue to fundraise, you had to go online, you had to go on social media, you had to learn how to donate by text. All of these systems were out, the micropayments by text, all of this was set up by charities, large charities, much earlier than other organizations, because it was a matter of survival. I think where there has been less work is on the delivery of programs, and also on the back office stuff, the boring stuff, the budget, finance, HR systems, content management systems, all of this stuff that is less, an issue of survival and seems expensive and looks like it's going to be an enormous amount of work because, you know, they have all these folders with paper and now we're going to put it all online. And that's where I think there are huge gains of productivity to be made in the charity sector, where other sectors have probably moved faster.
I agree 100%. I mean, for Mencap, we're less than 3% of our income is through charitable donations, the fundraising side. Most of our income is through delivering services and a high volume of people. And that, so to some extent, having a separate digital team meant that people didn't think that IT or technology or digital ways of working worked within our sector to provide care and support. And actually, there's a huge plethora of opportunity there in terms of the user engagement, the family engagement, the better service of the people we support, the efficiencies, the reduction in the paper, the frustration of the staff and the turnover. And it's vast, which is where now we're ploughing more energy and efforts. But it's become much later because actually, you're right, it's the imperative because the market is getting harder and harder and the competition is going to be squeezed out. So I think it's hitting charities later than it has with other organisations, particularly retail, where the margins are similarly small, but it's finally getting into the charity sector. And that's why they haven't had to have a coordinated effort for this or people thinking about this. So I think there's been that. It's just a time lag, really.
And each time I go into a charity shop and they take my postcode on a little piece of paper to claim gift aid, I want to go behind the desk and set it up for them. It's so frustrating. And, you know, there's a lot of money that could be made there, but there's just the effort seems too big.
I guess the absence of shareholder pressure as well, quite frankly, or, you know, the absence of a degree of scrutiny that perhaps might force one organisation to merge with another to look at efficiency drives. You know, I think that has had caused a lag in certain respects as well. But those, I think, driving imperatives perhaps allow organisations to look for competition in the wrong areas. I think you know, when competition comes in the charitable sector, it will come left of field, you know, from a disruptor who is simply a platform for connecting individuals who have an interest with the cause and the cause, sort of like, you know, circumventing the need for an organising body, if you like. And I think that perhaps is the biggest threat in the sector.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm going to use an example I came up with. I recently had to present an award to a tech for good startup called Borrow My Doggy.
I know the lady does.
So it's a really interesting organisation. It's you know, heavily used by people who are working all day out of the office and leaving their dogs cooped up at home. And one of my questions to a conference I was speaking at a week later was, why did no charity invent that service? Because there's loads and loads of dog charities, but none of them had invented that service. And it was so obvious when you looked at it. So that's an example of the left field disruptor, which is a commercial business coming along and doing something that, you know, it's good for the people because it helps build community. And it's good for the dogs who are otherwise cooped up. But nobody from a charitable perspective thought to do it.
I mean, I think the other thing which links very much into this is the amount of investment which it actually takes in certain areas to actually digitise the way that you actually work. And if you look across different industries, they have put £40 million and a high percentage of their revenue on a yearly basis into that. I think, therefore, from the sector which we work in, when you're looking to spend that amount of money, questions are always going to be asked by your trustees. is it the avenue which you should actually spend your money on, rather than putting money into frontline services where you can see an immediate return on the investment as well? And that's where a lot of the cases which are being made at the moment is around, actually, these are the outcomes that can be derived by actually making sure that you digitise your processes and your ways of working, rather than actually putting more results in. But it's a real hard question to actually get to as well.
100% agree. Everything you just said, I've experienced it for the digital transformation. It was almost a hitting a brick wall, and we presented a figure of how much it would cost. And the arguments to some extent are, it's pretty much a no-brainer, you need to do this. And that's been a huge amount of energy and effort and expenditure of money, actually, to keep convincing people about this business case. And I'll go back to the earlier point of, again, no disrespect to the people involved, to the trustees and the executive, for bringing them up to speed of the imperative for this, to convince them of the argument to do it, and then invest the money that takes it away from frontline services. You know, a great phrase that I ever, when I first went from commercial to the charity sector, is I was the biscuit stealer, because I was taking money for the biscuits, for the meetings that they had, to pay for bits of technology. And I was actually saving money by doing it, but that investment to begin with, it was seen as taking money away from the real purpose of the charity. 100%.
We've already explained the problems and challenges behind the word digital itself, and how that can be misunderstood when you talk about it in a strategic context. The trouble with the word transformation is that it suggests that you can get ahead of technological change. And technological change is obviously ongoing and is increasing. So the idea that transformation will get you ahead of something is a misnomer. And by virtue of that, I think that we have a challenge now where CDOs, CIOs, CTOs are expected to, this whole thing about strategy is delivery, delivery is strategy, and the idea of making sure that you are delivering services on a constant basis, which will then demonstrate your organization has transformed. Whereas in actual fact, what you need to be talking about is systemic change, systemic behavioral change, which, to be honest, I think a lot of trustees get, but aren't necessarily facilitating as much as perhaps they could do. I think there are a lot of digital trustees out there now who really get it. But the investment that isn't in the technology or isn't in the digital side of the business, but outside of that, that is really about behavioral change, that is about personnel development, that is about looking at how to systemically shift and nudge an organization in the right direction. It's nothing to do with digital per se. But has a massive impact on whether the stuff you're doing over here can be sustained. So without this, forget about this, the sort of technological aspects. And I think that is what this aspect of behavioral change isn't really being looked at to a great degree and isn't truly understood within organisations as yet. And that's not just charities, by the way, it's commercial, it's government, it's everywhere.
One of the things that struck me when I moved from the commercial to the charity sector as well is how much charities love to reinvent the wheel. And every organization thinks that they have to start from scratch. It's less true, again, on the fundraising side, where slowly but surely some consistency is emerging. But on the delivery of services, it's incredible, because a lot of people are literally developing the same platform. Right now, I bet you there are about 10 or 15 people delivering exactly the same content to voice, or whatever it is, platform for their charity. And that's much more expensive. I was very pleased to hear that the Royal Foundation was taking Crisis Text Line, which is a system that was invented in the US. And again, it doesn't sound like digital because it's a text line, as in SMS, but it's still a digital platform delivery. And they were using that technology and they were going to adapt it for the UK market, and rather than build a new one, which is the sort of way that I've seen so many people do it. So I think there is a lot of efficiencies that could be created by pulling resources.
But that tends to be quite fraught in charities, because whilst we all think that we're doing the same thing and on a good causes, there is still competition, and therefore there's a thing called Charity Share many years ago that existed to try and do a common technology platform, and it ended up folding through the governance of how it was going to be run and how you pay for it and a whole load of complications. So that collaboration sometimes is quite hard to do because we are competing. albeit quite gently.
That's all we've got time for today, but I've really enjoyed the conversation. I think we've covered some brilliant content, and we've left a lot that we haven't touched on as well, so I think we'll definitely have some topics to return to in the future. So I'd just like to sign off by thanking Owen, Vince, Rob and Claire for their time today. If you found this podcast interesting and useful, then I'd like to invite you to download our step-by-step guide to digital strategy. You can get to this at charitydigitalnews.co.uk. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, then do please like it and subscribe so you can get access to lots more of the content that we've got coming down the line. We've got a whole variety of different topic areas. And finally, we'd love to have your feedback. So do please email us at podcasts@charitydigital.org.uk. Thank you and goodbye.